CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. I'm Gareth Armstrong, and it's great to be with you. Flubi, it's always great to be with you. It's a pity that our audience can't see how good you look today.
And you say I'm looking damn fine.
You are. You definitely are.
It's your Future CEO look. Image is everything, you know.
Flubi, it's good to have you, and we've got a great show again, as we always do. Do you want to introduce it?
Okay.
Introduce what Future CEOs is all about.
Well, it's basically empowering and inspiring the young executives or young entrepreneurs out there to fast track their careers. And I love that because we always have great topics. We always have phenomenal guests. And I leave here empowered. So imagine all of those people who are listening.
And of course, it's no different today. We have a great show.
Yes.
If you want to be involved in the show, you've got some questions to ask, please 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. Or you can message us via the Cliff Central account on WeChat. That's a great way to do it. It comes straight through here. Or you can tweet us at cliffcentral.com or at future_CEOs. Yes. Okay, perfect. Let's get into the show, and let me introduce it this way. Flubi, have you ever wanted to start a business?
I think entrepreneurship is just, you know, a buzzword these days. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, but...
Well, the question is, if you have, but you have no money, it becomes quite difficult to start a business. And so that's what we're talking today. We're talking, how do you start a business with little or no capital? And we've got a great panel here of experts to talk us through all of this, talk to us about it. Let's start with the lady. Please introduce who you are. Why are you here? Why are we listening to you?
I think listeners, welcome to an awesome show. I'm Carmen Messier. I'm the Enterprise Development Manager at Shinduka Black Umbrellas. Shinduka Black Umbrellas is an incubator, a business incubator. We contribute to transformation by supporting 100% black-owned businesses throughout the startup cycle. And our key aim is to ensure that these entrepreneurs contribute positively to the economy.
Mm.
So in terms of objectives, our entrepreneurs need to grow annually in terms of their revenues.
Absolutely.
They need to have sufficient cash flow in the business.
Absolutely.
You know, cash is king.
Eish, yep. Mama.
Yep.
And they need to create jobs. Each one of our entrepreneurs throughout the life cycle of the program, which runs over 3 years, need to employ at least 4 permanent staff members.
Okay, interesting.
Now, Shinduka Black Umbrellas, as you know, has been around for close on 10 years. We've got a footprint, a national footprint, and we've got 8 incubators across the country.
Lovely.
4 on the coastal side and 4 inland. And we have a host of partners and donors that sponsor us as an NPO in order for us to execute on our strategic objectives.
Fantastic.
And just having said that, I think having been around for so long and having a good platform and an offering, we've just been awarded the MBAI Award, which is an international global thought leader and advocate for incubators and accelerators across the world.
So congratulations.
Congratulations. So we definitely have the right woman in studio here. And you, of course, Libby. But
thank you.
The other lady. Justin
Kutsia.
Yeah, you're here in front of me. Talk us through who you are, what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us along today. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. Yeah, so my name is Justin Kutsia. I'm a co-founder of a virtual accelerator called Igniter.
Mm-hmm.
We started Igniter roughly 2.5 years ago with the express intention of trying to help entrepreneurs improve their overall probabilities of success. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever come across the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor report, you'll see South Africa doesn't fare too well on that report. And
mm-hmm.
One of the criteria they measure is around failure rates.
Sure.
And so South Africa's failure rate is quite high. So my partner Paul and I thought, well, you know, we've got some experience. Paul's been training in entrepreneurship. He did his master's degree in entrepreneurship, and he's been in the space roughly 8 years. I was born into an entrepreneur family. My grandfather, my father, started my life straight out of school trying to do a few businesses, failed.
Okay. Which is a necessary thing.
Yeah.
In all entrepreneurs' journey,
yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, I suppose it's almost like a rite of passage,
as
some people would say. But you'd prefer not to have to go through
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Sure, sure.
So, I then met my wife. She became pregnant, and so I then went into the corporate space for a while. But I was always an entrepreneur at heart, and so eventually a couple of years back, went into my next venture, and then finally me and Paul started off with Igniter. So what do? We are there specifically to try and help guys who don't have R1 million sitting in the bank account and see how we can help them get off the ground. So we apply some of the latest thinking coming out of all the entrepreneurial hubs like Silicon Valley and Fantastic. Boulder, Colorado, and you know, Silicon Roundabout in the UK and stuff like that. And the core principles we apply are around the concept of lean startup, which is around this whole idea of eliminating waste. We teach our guys around the concept of effectual thinking, which in basic terms is really this concept of bird in the hand is better than two in the bush.
Sure.
So really it's around how can you leverage what you've got and what you can get easy access to get your business off the ground.
It's all about leveraging.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to explore some of that with you today, and we're grateful to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Our final guest, Harry Welby Cook. Am I saying this correctly?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Welby Cook.
Okay, excellent.
Good, or just plain Harry's fine, so it's really not a problem.
Hi, Harry.
Hi, Chloe. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I think it's important to talk entrepreneurship, and I think today's topic is very important because it's the reality of what we're faced with. I think there's a lot of this fantasy and notion of everybody wants to be an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
Out in the marketplace, but there are some hard realities that I don't think are often out there. So I, together with a business partner, Peter Skolse, we run Action Coach in South Africa.
Okay.
We're the African arm of a global company, so it's 56 countries in which we operate. And our philosophy is exactly, if you take the sporting connotation that we all understand, no top athlete or athletes or team of athletes ever reach the pinnacle without a coach.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's what we apply to business owners. So guys that are in business, people that are stuck, people that have maybe reached a ceiling, we coach them and mentor them through sustainable growth and profitability, because the reality is, and I think we touched on it with Carmen and Justin's introduction, we can't rely on corporate South Africa or government to employ more people.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of our lives, we will open the newspaper and read about retrenchments. Mm-hmm. And whether we like that or not, that's the reality. So we need to empower entrepreneurs and give them the skills and the tools to take ownership for themselves to grow their businesses. And in doing so, be successful in their own right. But when they are, they obviously employ more people and give back into the communities and things like that.
Okay, super. We've got a great panel, Phoebe.
Yo, I'm so impressed. I'm so excited to get stuck in.
Okay, so let's do exactly that. First question, doesn't it always take money to start a business?
I mean, cash is king.
Yeah. We've spoken about it already. Doesn't it always take money? Who's first? Justin?
Who wants to dive into that?
Please. I'll have a go.
Yeah.
So, especially in today's world, you know, you have so many online technology services that you can start off in a free mode, right, so a trial period. And so if you just look at the cost of starting a business over the last 15, 20 years, it's dropped dramatically, especially if you're going to go into the technology space. Mm-hmm. Some of your more traditional businesses, sure, there's still some overhead, some capital that you need to start. But you just need to be smart in those businesses, right? So form partnerships, sometimes go and essentially be a contractor for an existing establishment where it gives you the opportunity to get into market, sort of get started without having to put too much sort of overhead into it, or preferably no overhead. Obviously, if you're building a physical product, there's often some challenges there. But again, you know, coming back to the principles we like to apply in lean startup and effectual thinking, there's a lot you can do before you build the product. And I think that's a mistake a lot of guys make.
True.
Is they get stuck on, I've got to build this product. And they'll spend 6 months trying to build a product and raise money and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, interesting.
And literally there's a lot of stuff you can do before, and including signing up customers before you've really got a product.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd need a whole show to go into that kind of detail, and that's why we run a 2-day boot camp just explaining that concept to people. But literally, there you don't need money to start a business.
Carmen, do you agree? Do you disagree? Tell us what your thoughts are.
I would differ a little bit from Justin, because as much as you don't need money to start a business, you need something because you need to sustain. So what you find is that most entrepreneurs would start a business without having any sort of buffer. So you still have operational expenses. You still need to travel. You still need. So you need, I'm not saying you need millions, but you need some sort of a safety net that can sustain you whilst you're going through the testing phase, while you're going through the prototyping, while you're going through the research phase. You need something to sustain yourself as an entrepreneur.
Harry, then what's the first thing that a person should look at when they are looking to start a business? If we've got two differing opinions here, what would you say is the first thing?
Well, the reality is it takes money to live. And I think that's the basis of both what Justin and Carmen are coming from. It takes money to live. You need to be able to feed yourself. You need to be able to have a telephone account so you can phone people. So it takes money. And therefore, you need to have some backup. Often what people are doing is they are the biggest cost to their business.
True.
So they got this idea, and more I'm seeing this in the marketplace. People have got good paying jobs, and they got this idea with which they then resign and they want to go implement. Well, don't.
Okay.
Because what Justin said, there's a lot of thinking and preparation that needs to take place that you can do on the back of somebody else's investment, which is your salary. So you stick to that. I had somebody come up to me a little while ago and said, oh, so glad you guys help people in business. I'm currently a waiter. I studied hotel management, and I want to buy a KFC. Can you help me do it? And I said, yes, you won't buy one. He said, well, what do you mean? I thought you help people to do this. I said, I can promise you now you will not buy one.
Isn't that a little harsh? I mean,
it might be harsh, but that's the reality. I think exactly what we said in the beginning. We even banks, I'm finding this, you know, they do these roadshows, they promise they're going to lend the people the money. They're not. KFC are not going to give you one of their brands. The bank's not going to give you the 8 million that you need to start. So that needs to be the reality check. And often where it is you need to be able to crawl before you walk and walk before you run. And people are wanting to go too quickly from zero to hero. At the moment in the entrepreneurship space?
I think for me, just as like one of those people who want to get into the entrepreneurial space, firstly, I go for what's free technology got to offer me to start anything. Social media really works for me. And wherever I can find free Wi-Fi to make all those technological kind of, you know, business deals. The difference between an incubator and accelerator as an entrepreneur who needs funding, who and where would I go to, or would I go to both? Who can answer that?
So I'll comment on the incubator and then Justin.
Yeah, between Justin and Carmen, basically.
Comment on the accelerator.
I mean, is there a difference?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So an incubator is really what it says, the word incubator. So you start off and you're literally not ready to go out to market. So there's obviously certain things in your business that either needs tweaking or you need to change it completely. And that incubation process, which is, I think it's the right word for it, is more a business support structure that has been put in place to assist you in terms of developing your entrepreneurial skills, but also to get your structures in place. We find entrepreneurs starting out, they going into business.
We're all over the place.
You're all over the place. You don't have a business model. You haven't tested it. You have nothing compelling to sell to an investor to fund you or to accelerate you. You apply to the public sector or to the private sector, and then your basic statutory compliance is not in place. And I think at Chinduka Black and Bellas, that is what we largely focus on. We want to get our clients to a point where they are procurement ready, they are funding ready, they have all their ducks in a row, and they're ready to face the big bad wolf outside confidently.
Justin, then an accelerator?
Yeah, I mean, the key difference really, and there's a couple of different models even in the accelerator space, but I suppose the key difference being this support model that incubators provide, where they have, you know, a bunch of periphery services. The accelerator doesn't focus on that. The accelerator is about, you've got an idea, let's turn that idea into a product, let's find customers, and let's grow this business.
And let's make some profit.
Exactly. And, and that's all the accelerator focuses on. So you don't, you know, a number of accelerators do offer sort of office space, but a lot of them don't. Often there's no real structured program around the, let's call it the MBA type stuff. So there's no training around how to do your finances or how to do your the legal stuff and all that. It's really around how do you build your product effectively, how do you do your customer development effectively, and so how do you just grow this business. And so because of that, often in your accelerator, you also tend to be attracting the higher caliber entrepreneurs, the guys that got a bit of experience, and they've got an ability to execute on their business, and they need a little less hand-holding than the incubator.
Harry, then a question. So from a business coach's perspective, what are big mistakes that you often see in the marketplace, whether the business is big or small, whether they are needing incubation or perhaps even acceleration?
I think people think that running a business is easy.
Okay.
And whilst it's very important to follow your passion, you have to realize that if you're running a company or a business, your passion is not the only thing that you're going to have to do.
Mm, very nice.
So the two key distinctions that everybody makes the mistake on is one, managing the money and watching the money, and the second one is actually getting out there and doing the marketing. Often I hear entrepreneurs tell me, oh, yeah, but I'm not good at sales, or I don't like selling. And that's, you know, with all due respect to most of them, rubbish. Because when they sit in front of somebody and they can talk about their product or their service, they have the passion.
Yeah, that is,
they can sell.
That is selling, isn't
that
it?
That in itself, people buy. They're not getting in front of enough people. They're not getting out there. They're wanting to hide behind the computer or get business coming to them, which is often the key problem. And then because they didn't do accounting at school, or it was complicated, or they think it's up for the accountants, they don't know how to manage money. They literally live out of the till. So if there's money today, great. We've got money for a new car. If there's not, well, geez, then we won't eat for a week or two.
Just throwing a couple of words at you. Mm-hmm. Could you just break them down to me? What does pivoting your business mean? Bootstrapping your business? Why the smiles? Is it a good question?
These are great questions. Go with it. Go with it.
Okay. Bootstrapping and differentiating yourself. Who wants to tackle one of them?
So I'll have a go at Justin. At the pivoting. Because pivoting
like
is synonymous with the whole lean startup movement. Mm. And unfortunately, pivoting gets used too frequently these days.
Is it?
Sure. So guys
good,
use
good
it for any excuse to just change what they're doing. Or
okay.
You know, they suddenly decide today that they're selling tomatoes. Yesterday it was potatoes. I'm pivoting. Right? And they've actually got no foundation around which to make some of these decisions. It's just, well, you know, I couldn't get a sale yesterday on potatoes, so I'm going to try today with tomatoes.
Okay.
And pivoting is actually something more than that. Pivoting is almost, if you think about playing sort of netball, right, where as you get the ball, you've got to keep your one foot still while you move around to make the pass to another player. And that's kind of the idea around pivoting is the whole lean startup methodology is based or thinking is based around coming up with an idea and then understanding what are your assumptions in that idea. So what are your guesses? So you think you can sell to, you know, single moms over the age of 40. Now you've got to actually go out and test and validate that. And so when you invalidate that, that's when you're potentially now sitting in a situation of a pivot. But a pivot is essentially you're still heading in a similar sort of general direction, so that one foot is still, you know, standing still while you're now moving the other foot to look at something else. So suddenly you realize, well, single moms over the age of 40 aren't interested in adult diapers. You know, they want fancy watches. So
yeah.
Cool. But you discover that through this validation process. You don't just decide, okay, well, this product didn't work, so I'm going to go on to that product.
Mm, okay, very interesting. Now, before we go to the other definitions, Saz, we want you to know that we love you as well. So Saz says, if I haven't said it before, I'm saying it again. I absolutely love the show. Thank you, Gareth and Fluby, thank you for making my Thursdays amazing.
Love it.
Saz, we love you. Okay, let's go on to the next definition.
Bootstrapping.
Bootstrapping, common.
Okay, so bootstrapping is literally starting your business with minimal financial resources. So you're starting with little capital, trying to keep your expenses low, try and scale your business over time, so getting the customers and reinvesting that operating revenue back into your business to fund your expansion. So it's not taking on too much operational expenses, getting into the big office spaces, purchasing the big equipment, paying the big fat salaries. It is really trying to scale your business with minimal income.
Just very quickly on this, Emilian Popa, now he's the head of Groupon South Africa, and in a discussion that I had with him a while ago, he says he's never owned a brand new car. Never owned it, and he's opened a number of businesses. It's an important thing for all of those who are listening to hear, because often we chase the dream and we don't see the reality. Harry, just give us the last definition. What was it?
It was differentiating yourself
to
kind of attract funding. What do you think about that, Harry?
See, I think differentiating yourself is important to attract a lot of things, funding being one, the right people to work for you being another, but critically customers.
Okay.
And often people say, well, I'm differentiated. And I say, great, who's your biggest competitor?
Yeah.
And they'll come up with a name. And I say, right, write what differentiates you. And then on top of that, put your biggest competitor's name and tell me if it's any different.
Okay.
Because people think, oh, I differentiated on service or I'm differentiated on product. Yeah, most of it often not. and people are not actually understanding what they differentiated on. So a good place to start is to ask other people. If you've already got some customers or people that have been interested in the idea or the concept, ask them what they think the differentiator is. Ask your family and your friends who know you better what they think the differentiator is. Because unless you have that differentiator, you'll always compete on price. It will be a cutthroat business. And if you're not starting with any capital and you're having to bootstrap, it is going to be a lot harder than normal.
You know, we are running out of time. It's shocking that we are, but we are running out of time. Let's just talk about a couple more things here. First, let's talk about testing products. So part of differentiating is product design, product maybe product pivoting as well. Mm-hmm. There's an element of that. How do you know when you're onto a winning product? How do you test a product before maybe you even have that product in your hands? Justin, please. This goes to potentially the lean startup methodology.
Exactly. So with lean startup again, sorry, the key is trying to get some early validation, and it's as simple as really just going out and talking to your customers. But obviously, people like to be nice; they don't intentionally be ugly. So if you just go up to someone with your product and you say, "Hey, would you buy this?" Most people will say yes until you say, "Okay, well, give me the cash." Then you'll find out if they're really going to buy it or not. So, you know, we teach guys a couple of techniques that allows them to ask you this question, and you get the yes no answer without the customer or potential customer even knowing they're saying yes or no.
Absolutely.
And a simple analogy again is what we call the mom test, right? So if you go up to your mom with your new iPad app where she can keep her recipes for all her cooking, and you show her this app and you say, "Hey, mom, would you use this?" Your mom's going to say yes, right? She's not going to be ugly.
Whereas well, if you my mom would say yes.
My mom too. I'm a mom's boy, should say yes. The truth of the matter, though, is if you went up to your mom and you started to ask her about how she kept her recipes and, you know, how she found her favorite recipes and that sort of stuff, and then said to her, "Well, why don't you store that stuff on your iPad?" Then you'll get the real answer. You know, you'll hear something like, "Oh, I don't know how to use this thing," or "I don't want to put my credit card details in there. It's very difficult." And so she's told you no without realizing she's saying she's not going to buy your app. And so if you take that analogy and start using that on customers, you know, you apply that technique. Obviously, you've got to think through those questions quite carefully. But you then get this validation around whether someone would actually buy your product or not.
Okay, very, very interesting. Phoebe?
Let's move on.
Okay, Carmen, let's just then talk through this question or the idea of burning cash. What must we ask ourselves when we suddenly find ourselves burning cash? Carmen, Harry, your thoughts, please.
Do I really need this?
Do I really need this? Great question.
Yeah. Do I need it? Yeah, absolutely. Keep track of where your cash is going. Too often people don't know where they're spending their money. And when they start to realize that, they quickly see. Also, look at what you're paying yourself. Because often the scenario is, well, I'm only taking 5,000 rand out of the business, so it's not me.
Sure.
Yes, but your cell phone and your car and last night's dinner and all that's also going through the accounts. If you understand where your money's going, you can start to see, okay, where is it that there's fat in the system that I need to trim? And even if you're a successful business person, it creeps up on you. You need to be constantly reviewing that cash and where it's going.
I think that's also the power of the business plan initially, you know, to see if your business is valuable to work or not, you know. And I'm in the process of writing business plan, and sometimes I think that, oh my gosh, you know, I'm actually not going to meet just making it month by month. So you just backtrack and go back to the drawing board. And I think it's just an important process of wanting to actually make it a reality, that the dream that you've dreamt about for so long.
On your business plan, halve the expected income, double the expected expenses, and then see if the business will work out.
Oh, really?
Very good. Carmen, your thoughts?
Because the other thing is, in terms of managing your cash flow, what entrepreneurs normally miss is that they need to manage their sales pipeline as well. So they need to get customers in. And it's not a matter of landing one customer and then sitting back and say, "Yay, I'm ready to go." Is how do you create that sustainability in your business that there's ongoing money coming into your business?
True.
And cash is king, like we said. And if there's no customers, there's no revenue, there is no money to burn.
This has been a great conversation, Phoebe, but we've run out of time, and it's so frustrating. We're going to have to get you guys all to come back into the studio and talk to us a little bit more. But maybe let's just go around the studio, and Phoebe, we'll end with you as we usually do.
The pressure.
Just a final tip or a final thought to all of those aspiring individuals out there who want to start a business but perhaps are doubting themselves or find themselves in a position where they don't have that capital to do it. Carmen, let's start with you.
I think for me it is... think big and start small.
Okay.
Get a mentor
Love that.
Get a support base. Entrepreneurship is a lonely journey. And it gets really hectic out there. So get that support base. And I think most importantly is validate your business idea. Do the research. Do the pivoting, Justin. And really make sure that what you actually sell into the market is what the market needs.
Absolutely.
Justin, has she taken all the tips now? Very good. Thanks, Carmen.
Yeah, so I think something I just need to clarify around my statement earlier of saying you don't need money. I agree absolutely with the comments made by Carmen and Harry earlier. You do need money to sustain yourself. You know, our philosophy is you don't really need money to get the product and the business up and running. And so in line with that, when you're considering a career in entrepreneurship, take a gradual approach. Don't suddenly go from I'm working for some corporate to I'm now going to build the next biggest B2C business.
Yeah.
Maybe first go out and consult a bit. Then start to build an online blog and progressively work your way into that entrepreneurship, and you can support yourself through that process.
Okay, very nice. Thank you. Harry?
Well, with those answers already on the table, I think I'll give some action for people to go take and understand that entrepreneurship and really great entrepreneurship is a 25-year overnight success.
Very nice.
So pick who the entrepreneur is who you aspire to be and go read their life story, because you will see the ups and downs. You will see the hard work that it takes. And then do exactly what Carmen said. Take that big thinking, but start small.
Very, very, very good advice.
There is no easy shortcut to profits. You have to grind it out, get creative, and differentiate yourself.
Fantastic. Luby, thank you very much for that. Thank you, guests. It's been great to be with you. Up next, we are going to be speaking Startup of the Week, and we've got a very interesting show. Join us in just a few minutes. We'll see you then.
CliffCentral.com.